I have been preaching a series of sermons on the way of the cross. As Christians, we are confronted by the cross at the beginning of the time that we decide to follow Jesus and many other times throughout our Christian experience. And the way of the cross involves several different aspects of it. And we've been talking about some of them, and I want to continue that today. The scripture I want to read is one verse from Matthew, 16th chapter, verses 24. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." I've told you in previous sermons that the way of the cross is a way of surrender. And it's also a way of sacrifice. And I want to try to show you today that it's also a way of self-denial. Jesus said that in order to follow him, we must deny ourselves. The operative word there is must. In other words, it's not a suggestion. It's a requirement. Jesus' call for self-denial stands in stark contrast to the emphasis in our culture today. For what we hear most about is not self-denial, but self-glorification. Go into any bookstore and you will see book after book on the subject of self. There are books on self-esteem, self-promotion, self-preservation, self-reliance, self-improvement, and even self-celebration, just to name a few. Now, I'm not saying that there are not some good reasons why we need to focus on self from time to time. It's not beneficial at all for us to run ourselves down or hate ourselves or to constantly put ourselves down. In fact, it's destructive. We remember that Jesus said, love your neighbor, how? As yourself. The implication being that we need to look at ourselves in the proper light. We need to see ourselves in the proper way so that we can see our neighbors in the right way also. If a person thinks poorly of himself and treats himself poorly, he may end up doing the same thing to those people around him. I wonder if that's not what may be at the bottom of some of the shooting and killing that we've seen happen recently. If a person does not value his own life, then perhaps he will not consider other people's lives important either. We must remind ourselves that we are all created in the image of God, in the image of our Heavenly Father. And He valued us so much that He sent His only Son to die for us. That seems to me that if somebody would do that for us, then that would mean that He thinks we're pretty important in His eyes at least. It seems that when we are evaluating self, there are a couple of extremes that we need to avoid. The first extreme is to think too highly of ourselves. Paul wrote in Romans 12:3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment." Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we are not the greatest person that has ever come down the pike. It seems to me that there was someone from here in Louisville that said over and over again, "I'm the greatest." Actually, he was pretty good. But I think someone ended up beating him. One of those suggested self-improvement exercises instructs us to stand in front of the mirror every morning and say 10 times, "You're the greatest. You're the greatest. You're the greatest." I think to keep us humble, we need one of those responsive mirrors that I saw advertising saw advertised recently, and it would answer, "No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not," just to keep us honest. The problem with overestimating our greatness is that not everyone will agree with us. They will not agree with the assessment that we make of ourselves. And they might even end up resenting us if we come across to them as someone who thinks, "I'm pretty important." We remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph believed that he was destined for some great things. He made the mistake of telling his brothers that someday they were all going to bow down to him. Now, as you might imagine, that did not go over well with his brothers. In fact, they took some very drastic steps. Now, it happened that Joseph's dream did finally come true. He was great. He did some great things. But he had to go through a process that taught him some humility along the way. If a person thinks too highly of himself, he just might end up thinking too lowly of other people. Now, I usually get along with most people pretty well. I don't have any trouble with most types. But there is one type that I simply would prefer not to be around. And that is the person that looks down on people. The person that says, "I am better than you are." I have trouble with that. Looking down on people. That's what Bert Gahanna said, that a person looks down on someone who looks down on others. At the root of the problem is the attitude that says, "I'm above you." Proverbs 3:34 tells us that the Lord mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. We don't really have to run other people down in order to feel good about ourselves. I heard a very highly acclaimed athlete make the statement that no matter what records a person is able to break, there will always be someone come along and break those records. In other words, there will be somebody who is better. And the problem with thinking too much of ourselves is that there will always be someone that is greater and better than we are. Remember the story of Jesus, the parable of Jesus about taking the best seat in the banquet? And the one that is putting on the banquet will come along and say, "You don't belong there in that seat. Go on down." It's not for us to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The other extreme we need to avoid is feeling too lowly about ourselves. Being humble doesn't mean that we run ourselves down or think that we're worthless. One of the worst things that parents can say to their children is, "You'll never amount to a hill of beans." I hope none of you ever heard anything like that from your parents. School teachers can have a powerful influence on students, and they do today, and I'm afraid for many it's not a positive influence, but a negative one. There are many, many stories about teachers who saw something in a boy or girl that nobody else could see and encouraged them until they eventually did quite well. Better, in fact, than most people ever thought they would. Ann Sullivan was a teacher and lifelong companion of Helen Keller. If you saw the movie about Helen Keller's life, you remember how difficult it was for Ann Sullivan to penetrate that darkness, to reach into her life and to pull her out. Now, her family had accepted her condition, but Ann Sullivan did not. She could see a greatness in Helen Keller that others could not see. I believe that Jesus was that kind of person also. Just look at the people that he called to follow him. Most people would say that they were pretty ordinary folks, that they would never probably make strong leaders because they were just everyday people, everyday folks like you and me. But they ended up doing great and marvelous things. They ended up doing mighty things. How did that happen? Because Jesus saw something in them that they probably couldn't even see in themselves. And he saw something that other people probably wouldn't see as well. They were able to do great things because not only did they believe in Jesus, but Jesus believed in them. There's a picture with a poster of a little boy, and the caption reads, "I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk." Someone wrote that God is love. He didn't need us, but he wanted us. And that's the reason. That's the most amazing thing of all, that God would want us, knowing what we are like, knowing who we are. Still, he did. If for no other reason, we should understand that we are of great value to God because he sent his only son for us. That makes us special, you see. That God looked upon us and thought that we were so important, so valuable, that he sent his son to die for us. But that makes everybody else special too, doesn't it? Because he died for them as well. As Paul said, we should look at ourselves with sober judgment. We are children of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Imagine that. Children of God. We are children of God, but it's all because of what the Lord has done and is doing. I mentioned Gert B. Hanna earlier, and I was listening to one of her testimonies this past week. And in that testimony, she always closed her talks with a prayer of a long-dead slave, and it goes like this. "Oh Lord, I ain't what I want to be, I ain't what I ought to be, and I ain't what I'm going to be. But thanks, Lord, I ain't what I used to be." And I think all of us could say the same thing. We're not there yet. We haven't arrived yet. We're still on the road. We're still going. But someday we will. And thank God we're not what we used to be. At least I can say that about myself. When Jesus said we must deny ourselves in order to follow him, I believe he was talking mainly about priorities. What is most important to us? Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?" A person who loses his soul so that he can gain something else has lost everything. Riches, fame, whatever it might be, possessions, all of those things will pass away. But the condition of our souls is an eternal issue. Well, here's what's going on. Jesus was calling for a total commitment to him. He said, in effect, "Don't try to get me less than all of you. And don't let anything be more important to you than I am." Think about that. That's a radical commitment, isn't it? Don't let anything be more important in your life than Jesus. Don't let anything be more important. As we see in the case of those first disciples, at first, I doubt very much if they understood what it was going to require from them, what was going to happen to them in their lives. I doubt if they understood what was ahead of them. I doubt if they realized what this radical commitment to Jesus was going to be, was going to involve altogether. But as they grew in awareness, as they stayed with Jesus, as they walked with him, as they learned more and more, as Jesus took them along on this journey, they became sold out, as you might say. And all it became to them an all-consuming passion in their lives. It should happen to us, something like that as well. When we made that confession of faith in Jesus and was baptized according to his command, we probably didn't completely understand what we were doing. We didn't know what we were letting ourselves in for, perhaps. But day by day, if we stay with him, we will learn more and more and more of what it's going to cost us. But you know what? We won't care. Because Jesus and the life He has given us will be all important to us. It comes down, my friends, to a question of whom do we want to please? Do we want to please the most? Do we want to please God? Or do we want to please ourselves? The self part of us will shout, wave the arms around, and fuss and say loudly, "Choose me, choose me, choose me." But we know better now, don't we? We have decided to follow Jesus. And that means what we want is not nearly as important to us anymore as what Jesus wants. We turn to self and we say, "Be quiet, self. I've made my choice and I'm sticking to it. I'm going to live for Jesus." If we want to follow Jesus and keep on following Him, we must deny ourselves. That's the deal. That's the way it is. That's not easy, but neither is it impossible. For with the Lord's help, we can do it, my friends. We can keep on following Jesus. We can keep on growing closer to Him all the time. And we can listen to His words and do what He wants us to do. The words of the hymn we're about to sing are like a prayer. And they say, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." Let's pray that prayer as we sing it together. And if we've really never done that, we've never really made that commitment to Jesus, now would be a very good time. The Lord is working with us and helping us to do that very thing. So let's pray together. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the call to us that we have heard and we have heeded. We have answered. We've said, "Yes, I want to follow Jesus." We may not understand fully all that it means to us, but we do know, Father, that it involves self-denial, putting self back in the second place, so that we can put Jesus in the first place. Help us, Father, to follow Jesus, regardless of how hard it is or how difficult, or regardless of where it takes us. Give us the grace, we pray, to be able to keep on going, because we know that way ends up in a good place. The way of the cross leads home, and that's where we want to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.